The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
This is God Calling, and we've got a very special program for you today. Jack and Johnette Williams, who you certainly have heard Johnette on the air for many, many years, Johnette Benkovich Williams. And Jack Williams is the general manager of EWTN Radio. Folks, first of all, thank you for joining us. And before we get going, I've got an oddball question. Being a broadcaster for as long as I was, decades, I butt heads many times with my general manager over a new contract. Now, Johnette, what was that like?
Well, what an interesting question for me. to tell you the truth, I really never had a contract with EWTN or any media agency whatsoever. The only contracts that I ever had to do with my position as a school teacher in Pinellas County, Florida for a number of years, and then as an insurance agent for a national insurance agency or insurance company in the United States. And I never really had to butt heads over contracts because I was never the deciding factor or had a voice in them. So I cannot truly comment from any personal experience similar to what you might have had there, Paul.
That's a dream employee, Jack.
Well, it works out great for me because I don't have to give in.
Yeah, you can tell we've all been doing this for a bit, can't you, folks? In any case, both of you are widowed. Johnette, you were married for 34 years to Anthony, and Jack, yeah. You to Susie. Johnette, tell me, first of all, about your marriage before marrying Jack.
Well, thank you. Yes, Anthony and I had met when I was rather young. It was the summer before my senior year in high school, and he was in college, and when he was home on a weekend or whatever, we would keep company together, to use an old phrase. And, you know, eventually this bloomed into what we determined was going to be a lifetime commitment to each other. And so after I graduated college and taught for a year, we did get married and had the beautiful opportunity to be wedded for over 3 decades before terminal brain cancer claimed his life.
Okay. And Jack?
Well, Susie and I were co-workers, actually. We both managed various departments of a department store in downtown St. Louis, which was our hometown. I had parts of 3 of those floors, 12 floors of shopping back in the glory days of retail during the Reagan years. We met in that context, and a relationship sort of blossomed and led to a marriage that, you know, lasted a couple of decades before, unfortunately, we lost Susie to pancreatic cancer. So we're rolling the top 3 cancers you never want to get here in this one relationship.
Yeah, unfortunately. Johnette, you had a family?
We had, Anthony and I had 3 children together. We have a daughter, and then we had a son, and then we had another daughter. And my 2 daughters have beautiful children. I'm the grandmother, and Jack is also the grandfather of 10 grandchildren. But I lost my son at the age of 25 years old, shortly after he returned home from Iraq. So while we enjoyed these beautiful years that God gave us together, they were not years that were not without sorrow and not without sadness. I think that from my perspective with regard to that, suffering does one of 2 things, Paul, in a relationship. It either strengthens the relationship or it breaks the relationship. And in our case, it strengthened the relationship and prepared us for the cross that our Lord would offer us when Anthony was diagnosed with glioblastoma multiforme 4. We understood how to make that journey yet again because of the experience and the strength of faith that grew in our hearts when we had lost our son.
Jack, tell me about your family.
We have a son, Robert, who actually works at the network also. He works in our technical operations center here at EWTN. He has just turned 26 years old. We have a daughter who just turned 23. Her name is Katie. She lives in Fort Worth, Texas. When Susie was diagnosed, it was almost a year to the day from the time she was diagnosed until the day that she passed away from her diagnosis. And she passed away just 2 weeks before Katie's senior prom and just 6 weeks before her high school graduation.
Oh, dear.
You know, it's obviously unfortunate when you hear that, but in many ways it was a little bit of a blessing, quite frankly, because the busyness of life, you know, surrounding those events and getting her off to college afforded us the opportunity to sort of ease into our grief a little bit and, you know, may have made things easier in some ways and probably made things a little more difficult in other ways.
In doing my homework, Jeanette, I realized or I read that you had thought for sure you were going to be never marry again, confirmed single person from then on. What changed?
Well, it's interesting that you asked me that question, Paul, because that certainly was my intention in the early years of my widowhood. But I began to experience a sense of loneliness. Now, when I say loneliness, it was not a prevailing experience, but it was very real. And so I bought a dog.
Okay.
And I thought that Maggie May would help me out with that. But it wasn't the same. And I asked the Lord prayer because I wasn't really sure if this was a desire in my heart that was coming from him or if, in fact, this was, you know, a temptation because I lead a very productive life and a very full life. And I wanted to make certain that if I entered into the married state again or even began to consider that, that it was God's will for me at this point in time. So about 8 years into my widowhood, I guess, I put a little bit of a checklist before the Lord. And I said, now, if you were to ever bring a gentleman into my life again, you know, here's the criteria that I'm laying out. And if this criteria is met, then I'll take that as a sign from you that this person is for me. And I was very, very specific, Paul, very specific. I told the Lord that I wanted a man who could meet me intellectually so that we could have good discussions together and form a friendship and be able to communicate about important matters. I wanted someone who was spiritually developed in the sense that he had a relationship with our Lord, loved Holy Mother Church, frequented the sacraments, and had a prayer life. That was very important to me. I mentioned to our Lord that Our Lady would have to be on one side of him and that he would have to be on the other side of him. And I said to the Lord, I'm not asking for an apparition. I just need to know that our Blessed Lady and you form these companions to this man. And then I said to the Lord that I reminded him that I was primary caregiver for my father and that this person would have to understand that. And that, you know, in a small segment of the world's population, individuals knew who I was and that I was a public figure for our Catholic faith. And that would have to be something that he would be able to deal with. And then I said to the Lord, and I'd like him to be a widow, someone who is in a good marriage, understands married life, and is sensing a call to be married again. And finally, I said this, Paul, I wouldn't mind it one bit if I was attracted to him.
Boy, I tell you, that's the opposite of the ways most people do it, but it seemed like Jack checked all the boxes.
Well, he checked them right away, and he checked them rather quickly, and I figured, gee whiz, you know, if I don't say yes to this man, should he propose to me, then I'm going to have to answer to the Lord for that, because he answered every criteria very quickly.
We're going to take a break and come back with Jack's side of that whole equation and where he was as you guys met and began to court, to use Jack's word, right after this message. Stay with us. You're on God Calling. This is AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Jack and Jeanette Williams joining us on God Calling today. Of course, you know Jeanette from Women of Grace. You'll be here every day. And then Jack on 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at least on our station, on Open Line. He's also the general manager of EWTN Radio. So, Jack, I read some stuff about you after your wife passed, Susie, and that you you realized how lonely you were. You were kind of drifting. I think you used the word rudderless in something I read. So how did you come to decide that you might want to look for a partner?
Well, you know, I don't know that I really ever made the decision that I was going to look, to be honest with you. But you know, as long as I was at work, this is a very busy place. There's never enough time to get done everything that we would like to get done in service of our Lord. When I was at work, really everything was fine, to be honest. And Susie benefited, as Anthony did, from a happy death, a death that brought comfort to the entire family. But when I was home, I wasn't really lonely per se, but I just didn't quite know what I was supposed to be doing. As I kind of moved around the evenings and started pondering things as the months went by, and whenever I would ponder the notion of perhaps marrying again, really the prevailing notion at that moment when I would have those thoughts is that I just don't have the energy that it would take to invest in getting across all of the hurdles that inevitably you would have to get across in order for something like that to manifest itself. And that's really about as far as the conversation in my own head would go. And then some circumstances arose, and taking my daughter back to Franciscan University of Steubenville for her sophomore year, there was just an opportunity on the drive back with some things that were going on at the network that we could use Johnette's expertise in. And just in contemplating reaching out to her to ask for her help on that, I think was really sort of when the first real spark may have sort of touched my heart that maybe there is something that God might have in mind down the road beyond me trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing when I'm not at work.
Yeah. I watched a video when you announced on the air that the two of you were engaged. You, on purpose, used that word. You asked her if you could court her. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, you know, we live in a society where we all too often are tossed about by our emotions. And as we all know, our emotions fluctuate wildly, and sometimes they can be trusted, but oftentimes they cannot. You know, this is a beautiful program that you have here, God Calling, because the most important thing, I think, is that people understand that God does have a plan for their life. And the odds of finding that plan and adhering to it become remote when you don't seek his input on what he would like to have you do. And when you think about the dating relationship and the dating culture in America today and really throughout the entire world, you know, really dating is meant for one purpose, and that is to sort of test or discern the compatibility of two people for a sacramental marriage. And this is what I laid out for Johnette. I said, you know, I don't want to date the way the world knows dating. You know, I think that this is going to be a discernment process for us. And the only place that this could lead in a holy way is to the altar. And if either of us during that discernment process felt like that's not where this was leading, at that point we would not only be free, but we would really have an obligation to make that discernment known to the other person. And at that point, we would go our separate ways. But really, you know, the emphasis was on God's will and discerning what his will was. And wherever that may lead, we would have to be willing to be obedient to what that word was.
Johnette, obviously it rang true with you, but that's a unique approach to asking somebody to court.
Well, thank you, Paul. It really was. And the beautiful reality here is that Jack and I both really only wanted God's will for us. And as I had mentioned in my prior answer to your question, you know, I was sensing this longing for someone in my life, but didn't know if that was coming from the Lord or if it was a temptation. And if in fact his desire for me was to remain a widow, which I would have been happy to do. I was just trying to discern his will. And it was the same for Jack. He was trying to navigate this time in his own life, and he didn't want for us to succumb to the way in which the world tries to make these decisions. And when he invited me to the opportunity to court and he asked permission to court me, I was really quite taken back by it because it revealed to me that we had a singular perspective on this whole thing. And it took me a moment, to tell you the truth, to catch my breath when he said it. And he invited me over the phone. and I was sitting in front of a beautiful plaque of St. Joseph, who was holding the child Jesus. And it's a lovely thing. And I often sat before that plaque, and still do, quite frankly, and have my prayer time there. And I happened to have been sitting in front of this plaque at that time. And I said to St. Joseph, oh, St. Joseph, please help me. Please help me to know what God's will is in this moment. And Jack said to me, Johnette, are you still there? There was a prolonged pause there from his question to silence, to hearing my voice again. And I said, yes, I'm just trying to catch my breath, Jack. And with that, Jack said to me, you see, Johnette, I just want to be your St. Joseph.
Wow.
And Paul, I couldn't have asked for a more clear response from heaven than the one that Jack gave me. And I knew instantly that, you know, heaven was at work in this relationship. And this was something that I needed to give my fiat to say yes to. And that's exactly what I did.
I'm very interested in both of your observations on the role of media through this pandemic and reaching out to people. We'll do that as soon as we come back. You're listening to God Calling on AM 1260 Cleveland Catholic Radio. Jack and Johnette Williams are our guests on God Calling today. Familiar names. You're listening to us in EWTN programming that we carry in 11 o'clock in the morning and then 3 in the afternoon on the radio. Johnette, of course, you're also on at 1 o'clock on EWTN television. Let's talk, Johnette, starting with you maybe about the role of media during the pandemic and when people couldn't go to Mass.
You know, and through the midst of this pandemic, which has been a very trying time for all of us and a time of suffering for so very many, we realize that God works all things for the good for those who are called according to his purposes. And in the midst of all of the negatives that have come with COVID-19, we have seen many blessings happen as well. And one of the blessings, I think, is one that you've just mentioned. And that is the deprivation that we experienced, both from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and of course, within the context of that, the reception of our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity through his Eucharistic presence, shows us how deeply we need him, how much we love him, and the great reality of the nourishment that we receive from him. So I would say that that kind of recognition in our own lives is a beautiful blessing that's come forth through COVID-19. I do believe that technology, which is only the adaptation of God's creation to a purpose meant to bring honor and glory to him, has certainly been used in such a positive way, both through Catholic radio and Catholic television. And we know at EWTN how much that's been appreciated because the letters and the emails and the phone calls do not stop thanking the network for the presentation of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass via both television and radio, thanking the network for the continued presence of the rosary during these times, thanking the network for making adoration of the Blessed Sacrament virtually possible through the television side of our apostolate. And we know that without that, so many, I think, would have languished. Yeah. For those who are shut-ins and those individuals who live a life of seclusion because of illness, they already know the benefit of that. But for those in the general population of people, I think what a great, great joy and great blessing and bestowal of God's mercy upon us that we've had this opportunity.
Jack, that's got to be very satisfying from the standpoint of management.
Well, you know, it certainly is. And we've just been overwhelmed with the response that we've heard from the faithful during this. They've expressed to us their longing for the Eucharist, and those who follow us on EWTN to a large degree are the strength of the remnant of the Catholic faith. Our late Holy Father, not late Holy Father, our Pope Emeritus Benedict, I don't want to bury Pope Benedict here, but he suggested when he was the prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith that the church may be smaller in the not too distant future, and we may find that, I hope it's not, but we may find that to be the case, but oftentimes when you have that sort of a phenomenon, the remnant is actually stronger than the larger body that was there before us. But there's no question that it's been a joy to us to be able to bring the Mass and other things to people when they were locked down, especially in the early days of the pandemic. But there's no question, and I know Johnette will back me up on this, that, you know, we are made to be communal people. And, you know, this is not the way our Lord drew it up, and it's not what he prefers. And he wants us to be in direct fellowship with one another, and through his grace, hopefully that'll be the case in the not-too-distant future.
Now, Johnette, you're founder and president of Women of Grace. Of course, that's the title of the show, but a term, I notice it's a trademark term, authentic femininity. Can you describe that for me?
Well, yes, and I think that we live in a day and time that is more misogynist than any other day and time, which many women would look at me and say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we live in a day and time when I think women have never been more demeaned, because the cultural mindset and what has been advanced, unfortunately, by radical feminists, is that the problem that we have is our very biology. The problem that we have is the very way in which God's created us to be. And so, therefore, we have to close our wombs to life through any number of means, or if life should happen to be entrusted to that womb, that we have to kill that life if we ever want to achieve fulfillment. So basically, what that agenda has been is one that tells women she's not good enough the way she is. She has to become like a man. And that is just a terrible, terrible indictment against women, and a blasphemous thought. A blasphemous reality against the person of God who created us male and female and created us in his image, male and female. So when we talk about authentic femininity, we're talking about who we truly are as women. We're talking about the variety of blessings that are ours. We're talking about the special charisms and graces, gifts that are specific to the female person. And we raise that up. Hopefully to encourage other women to begin to live according to who it is that God's created them to be, no matter their state in life. And we do have the beautiful guidance and direction that's been given to us through St. John Paul II, through his theology of the body, but also through his acknowledgement of the giftedness and the talent of woman. He refers to that composite of gifts and blessing that woman brings to the world as her feminine genius. Yep. So we want to exalt the female person in the sense of raising her up to be the woman that God's created her to be. And the best way that we can do that is by helping her to strive to live a very Marian life, a life that is based on the ideal and based on the example of our Blessed Virgin Mary.
I wish we had an hour. This time has just flown by today for sure. And Jack, you can hear you at 3 in the afternoon taking phone calls. And Johnette, 11 o'clock on Women of Grace. And we would encourage folks to do that. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking some time, because I know you're both very, very busy. It was very sweet of you to come on. And like I say, I can't believe the half hour is over already. But thank you again.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you for the invitation, Paul, and blessings to all of you who are listening.
Amen. It was our pleasure.
Very good. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We hope you'll join us next week at the same time.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.